Welcome to the podcast. My name is Tony Sanders, and this is the From the Ashes podcast. Now, for those that are wondering why I decided to make a From the Ashes podcast, it's because, you know, I don't spend any time on social media, hardly ever. I don't do Twitter. I've never really done Facebook, but I did make a Facebook account a few years ago, and I didn't put anything on it. I put a picture of a computer up there. I didn't do anything on it. It was just to try to get in touch with a couple of people from high school, and didn't have much luck with that, and I didn't log back in for a long time. But then here recently, I decided to log in and put a few odds and ends on Facebook. Not much, but a little. But it's not because I'm going to spend very much time on it. I'm not a Facebook guy. But I thought, why not? And then I like podcasts better, way better than I do Facebook. So I decided to make a From the Ashes podcast and link it to Facebook, or post it on there so people could learn a little bit more about me. Okay, because to be honest, you know, I really don't go out and hang out with a bunch of people.
Right.
Since high school, you know, when I was younger, my life's a little, you know, up and down there for a while. But really, for the past 20 or 25 years, I've pretty much kind of just done my own thing. Really don't go out and talk to a whole bunch of people. And that doesn't mean I'm not a sociable person, or I wouldn't be one doing a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been a salesman a good chunk of my life. So that in itself doesn't mean I don't go out and talk to people. Of course I do. But in general, I don't hang around a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And even a lot of the family members, you know, I've got family members that haven't seen me in forever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they have no idea what my life has been like.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't tell you. I mean, for the past 20 or 25 years, they got no clue.
Yeah.
And now, because I don't get out and talk to a lot of people, you know, I'm not saying there's not a bunch of good people in the family, because there are.
Right.
There's a lot of great people in the family on both sides, and on your mom's family and all this other stuff. And there's a lot of good people.
Mm-hmm.
But we got some knuckleheads too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, every family does, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, and because we have some knuckleheads, okay, they tend to, well, sometimes they might comment on things they don't know anything about.
Right.
And I'm kind of one of the black sheep of the family.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that's fair, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And because I'm one of the black sheep of the family, they don't really know a lot about me.
Yeah.
And the people that comment about me, they don't always paint me in a favorable light.
Right.
And it's usually because, and I don't really want to say anything wrong, but it's because they're idiots.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be honest. That's the way I feel. That's not a bad thing to say.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying who it is. I'm just saying they're not very bright people.
Yeah.
And no offense. I mean, that's not 90% of the family, but there's a few.
Yeah. You can't have all bright light bulbs.
No. There's always some. But like I said, since I don't get out and talk to many, I figured making this podcast might be a little more revealing about maybe what I'm like.
Right.
You know, for the people that don't know, and that's kind of what Facebook is a glimpse inside somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, I think people that post things on social media tend to do it in a positive way.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people try to skew it so their lives look awesome.
Yeah, I don't think I'll do much of that.
Mm-hmm.
But some people do. I've seen of Facebook. I mean, people, you know, it's like going to church.
Mm-hmm.
They put on their best clothes, or they put on something nice. They take a few pictures in the best light.
Mm-hmm.
Hardly anybody puts up a photo of them looking like crap first thing in the morning.
Yeah, they don't have their greasy t-shirt on and, you know, stuff like that.
Right, right. So I thought, you know, hey, this will kind of give them a glimpse into my reality.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that is. And And you've heard that old saying, I forget how it goes, possessions 9/10 of the law, or you could say, well, you know, maybe reality is 9/10 perception. Maybe that's what it is.
Right, yeah.
That's probably very true, honestly, is especially on social media, is people only put forward what they want you to see.
What they want you to see. That's right, that's right. You know, I went by and saw one of my family members the other day. I'm not going to say who it was because, you know, the object of this podcast, I think I'm going to spend a little time talking about the immediate family, you know, the people that don't mind, and myself mainly. So like 90% me, not that I'm very interesting to begin with, but, you know, the whole point of being my Facebook page is about me.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about Jack over here. It's about Tony Sanders, right?
Right, yeah.
Right, so that's what we're doing. But I did go see one of the family members the other day. Not going to say who it was. And in my mind, since I hadn't seen him in probably 25 years, I guess I had an idea of what it would be like, what they would be like. And they were nothing like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing like that. And it's weird because, you know, time is a crazy thing. It is a really crazy thing. It reminds me of the guy who made the quote in the Star Trek movie Generations, the bad guy, you know, the guy who's, I forget, you know, the details of the story, but he's standing up on this rock thing and he says, time is like a predator stalking you. And it is kind of like that, really. People, you know, it's weird. Not long ago, I saw in a post online that Kirsten Melsheimer, a girl I knew back in high school, had passed away. And don't get me wrong. I've had some people die in my life that I knew that I really hated to see pass away. Good people. I mean, to be honest, I don't want to see anybody die.
Yeah.
But I guess we all do at some point. I mean, everybody does at some point. But you never like to see that.
Right.
Okay. And usually when somebody close to me dies, I mean, it does make you very sad. You don't want to see it. Yeah. But, you know, you do hear about, you know, people over here dying or somebody over here, and you're always saying, well, gosh, I hate to hear about that. But I don't know that it always provokes an emotional response. I guess it depends on how close you are to them.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I mean, yeah, you hate to see anything bad happen to them, but you know what I mean. The closer they are, the more it impacts you.
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of like when you hear it on the news, you're like, oh, that sucks, and you kind of move on from it.
Yes, because you don't know them.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you hate it for them, but you don't know them.
It just doesn't have that weight behind it.
Yes. Anyway, I saw that Kirsten Melsheimer had passed away, and this is a girl that I knew. I met her in the fifth grade.
Wow.
And for people that didn't know, I went to about 13 schools, give or take, in my life when I was growing up.
That is a lot of schools.
That's a lot of schools, roughly. If you count junior high, high school, changing schools, different places.
It's like one every year almost.
Yes, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. But I met her in the fifth grade at Utica Elementary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And in homeroom, and a couple of times throughout the day, she was in my class or around me. And I used to annoy the crap out of her.
As you do in the fifth grade, yeah.
Yeah, I was really annoying. Like, I was, you know, maybe abnormally annoying, I think.
Yeah.
But she sat in front of me in the homeroom. And Kirsten, if you didn't know her at the time, was a really tiny girl. Really small. Had blonde hair. Very nice girl, but she used to think I was super annoying.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, this is not somebody I ever ended up dating or anything. She was just a friend.
Yeah.
Well, not in the beginning. She was. She hated my guts, really.
There you go.
But we became good friends. And at some point along the way, even up into high school, we used to, especially in junior high, we used to talk on the phone at night. We didn't have cell phones back then. Well,
right.
Not ones you could afford, I imagine. But
yeah.
But we talked on the regular phone for hours. Almost every night, sometime till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Wow.
And we did that for months on end.
Wow.
And she was one of the few people that I really spent a lot of time talking to. So when I saw online that she had passed away, you know, I hadn't seen her forever.
Right.
But it really bothered me. I was really sad to see that.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, because she was a genuinely really good person. And I hated to see that happen to her. I mean, I really, you know, somebody like that, I like to picture her living to be super old.
Yeah. Right.
But when she died relatively young, I guess, I don't know how old she was. Like I said, I don't know the details, but it's been a little while now, a few years, but I think she may have been in her early 40s, maybe.
Yeah, that's not that old.
No.
Yeah.
No. And I don't know, like, the details, but I think she died of some sort of cancer.
Mm.
Not sure, but that's what I think. And if that's the case, because like I said, I don't have a lot of information on it. All I know is I saw it, and as long as I'm not mistaken about what I saw, she had passed away. And that really bugged me. That really did, because she was such a good friend for me a big chunk of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't keep up with her after high school, but, you know, I really, really missed her, mm-hmm. you know. And so there were other people, too, that had passed away. Glenda, I'm not going to mention her last name, was a good friend of mine, a lady I dated for a while when I was younger. She's passed away.
Mm.
Didn't know that. And that was, that was somebody that I dated right before I went out with your mother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And actually, she
got to be kind of weird.
Well, she knew all about Glenda.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, the just having people that you were with at that point that are now dead, that's got to be
she's
strange.
Passed away. Now, she was older than me.
Yeah.
But when I saw that, I thought, gosh, I hate that.
Yeah.
You know, Glenda, I'm going to tell a story in another podcast about her. She was a good person. She had a big heart. She had some negative things, too, but she was a good woman in general. I mean, I liked her. But I hated to see she passed away.
Yeah.
And I don't know why she passed away, but if I had to guess, it was because, now I don't know this, I'm just spitballing.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't surprise me if it was from smoking.
Mm.
Okay.
Because she smoked a lot.
Yeah.
She was always courteous about it. But I always told her, I said, man, you need to quit this.
Yeah.
And I don't know that she ever, I don't think she would have listened to me. But
nobody ever does.
No. And I saw where my uncle, and to tell you how spectacular my family is on some people, didn't even tell me my uncle had passed away.
Mm.
Uncle Clark passed away a couple of years ago. And so that comment alone tells you pretty much all you need to know about how close some parts of our family are versus others.
Right.
I know you had mentioned that the other day, and I had no idea either.
No, no idea. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. And I always liked Clark. Clark had an up-and-down life, too. But he was a good guy. I mean, he really was a good guy. I mean, he's the guy that taught me how to carp fish.
Yeah.
Oh, is he?
Pretty well, I say no. I don't guess it's the right to say he taught me how to carp fish. I guess that was my dad or somebody, but or my friends or whatever. But that I think it was he taught me how to carp fish at the Pay Lake.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
So that's more accurate.
Well, that's where a lot of your passion for that is, though.
Yes. I love to carp fish at the Pay Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And he took me to fish at Perry's.
The first, wow.
Yeah, in Gaffney. Okay. And I was a teenager.
Yeah, and we still go there.
Still go there to this day. So love going carp fishing, and always, you know, as a matter of fact, at some point over the years, I bought him a set of rods and carp stands and, you know, rod stands and net and all that stuff. And
mm-hmm.
because he used to take me up there to go fishing, so I bought him a set one time.
Yeah. You
know? So, and he used to make some bait for us, and y'all know how much I love tinkering with carp bait and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
He used to be really good at that. He had a real knack for some really good carp bait.
Wow.
So he was always really good at that. But I hated to see that happen to him.
Right.
You know, I'd like to have seen him live a lot longer. And
how long did he live for?
I don't know exactly, but I'm going to say, I think, now I don't know. Like I said, I'd have to go back and look, but I'm just guessing. I think he died, he was around 56.
Mm, that's still not very old.
No,
really.
Not really, old. No. But I'm not sure. I think that's right.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm not 100% sure, but I hate to see that happen to him.
Right.
Good fellow.
It's too early for that.
Yeah. It's much too early for that. But you know, it's weird, you know, as we go through life, it's amazing how time flies so fast.
Right.
It is extremely disorienting when you think about it. It seems like just yesterday I was in high school.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I can't even, you know, before you know it, another 30 years has gone by.
Yeah.
I mean, since you guys were kids, it seems like it didn't seem like it's been that long at all, really.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it flies by really fast. Like, even for me, it hasn't been that long still, but gosh, high school feels like it happened in 2 days. And then college, undergraduate feels like it happened in a day. It's crazy.
Right. It does. It goes by really fast.
And, yeah.
And you don't realize it, but probably, you know, 20 years from now, you guys are going to look back and go, gosh, where did 20 years go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, and that, and for people that didn't know, I do have five children. I have two daughters and three sons. Mm. And the sons were all with the same lady that I've been married to for a long time now. We've been married about 26 years. Mm-hmm. And I had two daughters that are older from previous relationships. Right. So for people that didn't know. Mm-hmm. So I do have a total of five children, and they're all wonderful people, but it's amazing that they're all grown.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to believe that my girls are around 30 and you guys are already in your 20s.
Right. Yeah.
That's hard to believe. So yeah. I can't even wrap my mind around that, really.
Well, because, I mean, I'm the youngest, and still being 22, it's got to be kind of weird.
Very weird.
It's a little weird, yeah.
Yep. Yep. I can't believe it. It's just – It boggles the mind how fast it goes.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now, at the time of this podcast, I'm 51. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and also if you look back over the last of people that didn't know, I mean, I had a good bit of heart trouble for the past roughly 10 years.
Right.
As a matter of fact, it all started when we went to a movie one day.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And I had to go.
Spare Parts.
Was that what it was?
Yeah, Spare Parts. Yeah. It had George Lopez as the high school mechanics guy.
See, I didn't even remember that.
Yeah, we were watching Spare Parts, that robot fighting movie.
Oh, my God.
See, it wasn't fighting. It was a competition.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, for some reason, I think it was like a robot fighting movie.
But. And my heart took off.
Yep.
Yeah.
It started racing.
Yep.
And it was up in crazy numbers. Mm-hmm. And the ambulance actually came and picked me up.
Yep.
And took me to the hospital. And to show you how spectacular medicine really is today, when I got to the hospital, they told me nothing was wrong.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Told me that I had a little anxiety. And I looked at the doctors and I said, that doesn't sound right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you just have anxiety. And well, I was like, Doc, come on, man.
Yeah. Everybody knows watching movies with your family makes you really anxious.
I thought they were out of their mind. I kept telling them they were wrong. And we didn't find out until a year later when I had a mild heart attack.
Oof.
And luckily, no damage.
Yeah.
That they went and did a heart cath. Mm-hmm. And I had roughly 9 blockages.
Yikes.
That's a lot of blockages.
A lot.
That's a whole bunch.
I don't know if you remember this because you had so much else going on, but the day in that movie theater where you had that first attack, mm-hmm. there was an older gentleman that was there that spoke to us for a little while because he had similar issues. So he was talking to the three of us, telling us just that things were fine, that you had some stuff going on. He kind of filled us in a little bit. He filled in mostly Brad, but because we were still kind of young. But he just said it was a heart attack. He knew what it was because he'd had that. So it's strange that you got to the hospital and they tried to tell you something different.
They told me it was nothing wrong. But you got to understand, if you have, and I didn't know this at the time, okay? If you go to the hospital, unless you're having a heart attack, like in the middle of a heart attack, they're pretty much, unless you have elevated troponin or something like that, or they see on an EKG that you're having a heart attack, they can only speculate.
Really?
And all they can do is speculate unless they actually do a heart cath.
So strange.
Mm. That's the only way you can be sure. Okay, pretty much, unless you're in the middle of something, you know. And that's what happened to me. And then I told them I didn't feel right. And then, you know, it's weird because the other day I had, shortly after that happened, because I didn't know what to expect, I had made a brief audio about basically talking to my kids mm-hmm. in case something, you know, unexpected happened and I wasn't here.
Right.
And they were very short. They were only 5-10 minutes long. I made one for each of the kids. But it was at a time when it was pretty spooky, mm-hmm. really, for me. It was new, didn't know what to expect. And I was kind of I wasn't very, you know, I was kind of down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't go back and listen to those because right. it is really sad.
Yeah.
It is creepily sad.
Yeah.
Kind of tells you where my mind was back then.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very sad. But shortly after that, you know, when something like that happens, you have to make a decision. And you do. You either just kind of wither away underneath sadness and health issues, or you decide you have to fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got two choices, really.
Yeah.
You can wither away to nothing, or you can say, well, I'm going to fight this, and if I die, then I die.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to fight because if you don't, you could just literally sit around and die from sadness.
Yeah.
You know, so we, you know, I got out and I started running about every other day. Mm-hmm. And Matthew here, he would go out there and stand around and wait for me to run so that in case something happened, I wasn't by myself.
Yeah,
and
I had several nights like that.
And I did it all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I did it continuously. As a matter of fact, later, a year later, when I had a mild heart attack, and as I had, if you've never had it and you had a heart attack, you'll have this feeling called impending doom.
Mm.
So I was coming from the mountains and I had a mild heart attack and I was still having it. And I stopped at a store. I knew something wasn't right. I was having an impending doom feeling. I knew I was in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere near a hospital or an ambulance.
Right.
And I stopped into a convenience store and I got two or three bottles of water and I chugged them down.
Oof.
Chugged them down like nothing. And I was still super thirsty.
Oof.
Like it was like I drunk nothing.
Wow.
But eventually I ended up going to the hospital and they said I had elevated troponin. They knew I'd had a heart attack, but luckily they did a heart cath. They did some stents. And really that was only the beginning of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But when I went to cardiac rehab after that, the lady said, gosh, you're in such good shape.
Yeah.
She says, it's amazing. Your vitals, when you run, your heart comes back to normal rhythm really fast. And she wasn't accustomed to seeing that because Matthew and I had been running for most of a year prior to that. But the blockages were already there.
Yeah.
They were just right there teetering on the edge.
Mm-hmm. No amount of running fixes blockages.
Not like that, no.
Yeah. You can't undo it, but you can make it a little easier to handle.
Yes. But something happened to me the other day. We won't go through the whole story. That would take too long. It was a lot of years. We that was only the beginning of the journey.
Yeah. Right.
It was a long, terrifying journey. It was so long, I was driving Uber one day, and there was a lady having a heart problem, and she had ordered an Uber. I was driving that day. It's been years ago. I took her up to this place to get her alcohol or whatever she was getting, and she was really sad. She was telling me how sad she was, and she told me she was having some heart problems. And so when I got there and I took her back, I kind of turned off the car. I pulled into her place and I sat there and talked to her for over a half hour.
Right.
Cheering her up because I realized that this lady, she's going to get this alcohol because she's got no family support and she's lonely. And see, I was lucky in some regards. I had you guys here and you got to have some kind of support.
I mean,
you
were pretty awesome. You know,
you were awesome because imagine how it was already difficult and scary, but imagine what it would have been like for somebody like her who had nobody.
Yeah.
Doing it alone just seems impossible.
It is so hard. Because it plays with your mind.
Yeah, well, for sure. I don't know how you would do it.
Yes. So we tried different dieting things.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I ended up, we won't go through the whole story, but I ended up with a bypass surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And even after that, I still had some problems.
Right.
Okay. So, but I finally found something that works for me.
Mm-hmm.
And even after all these years, this is the best that I've felt since I was 30 years old.
That's crazy.
Wild.
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
That I came from that, went through all of that, and this is the best I've felt since I was 30.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it's all because of what I'm eating now.
Mm.
I found what I think is the solution to controlling at least heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't fix heart disease,
yeah,
but it can keep it at bay for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I found this, I believe, the solution. It wasn't all my idea, but I was always looking at different dieting ways of handling it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a gentleman that worked for the Cleveland Clinic. One of their head cardiologists had written a book.
Right.
And I had already thought along those lines. So I read his book and kind of incorporated a few of my own things. And I found something that works. And to tell you how effective it is, to give you an idea, when you go and you have something like this done, doctors are going to tell you to take this, this, and this, and this. And probably typically, based on the averages, they're giving you the best advice available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, they like to load you up on medicines, though.
Yeah, and I'm not saying they're wrong. Believe me, if anybody's listening to this podcast, I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling you what to do.
Yeah.
Because I can't give medical advice. I don't have a medical degree. I'm simply telling you my story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That's all I'm doing. And, but today, and I'm not saying you should do this, but I don't take anything. Like, I literally don't take anything. And I checked my blood pressure the other day. My doctor was, he's very impressed with it, but it was about, my blood pressure was about 135 over 74.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not bad.
No, it's been much worse.
Especially yes. not for what yours used to be. That's not bad at all.
That's not, and that's with nothing.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't happen unless I was on a very extremely difficult diet regimen. It is extremely difficult.
Yeah.
I would say that, and even he even mentioned it in his book that his colleagues had said that they didn't really think most people could do that, so it's not really practical.
Yeah. Right.
And it is probably right.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that you could do it all full time.
It's very difficult.
Interesting though. They didn't say. Sorry, Brian.
No, you're good.
All the colleagues didn't say that it wouldn't work. They just said that nobody would do it.
Yeah, they just said nobody'd be able to do it.
So even they agreed it would do it.
But unfortunately, I'm one of these people that is really hard headed.
A little bit. Yeah, just a little.
And don't get me wrong, I eat a regular meal occasionally.
Sure.
But I am extremely dedicated to it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And it is, and I think that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I don't. If I do anything other than that, I have to take medication and everything else.
Yeah,
because I don't have a choice. You know, it's like I said, the doctors are giving you the best advice available, and they're trying to help you. Don't do what I do unless you're just willing to take the risk,
right?
Because it could backfire on you. Like I said, I've just been willing to take the risk, and I'm not saying you should,
right?
But it's been good for me. But it's amazing how when I see what I've dealt with the past 10 years, life, you realize when you get older, is a very fragile thing. And if you're not careful, it can be over in the blink of an eye. My wife works with a gentleman. His brother had passed away recently. He had bypass surgery about a year ago. And I hated to hear about that.
Yeah.
Especially people who are having heart issues, because I've been through a lot.
Right. Yeah.
And I hated that for him and his family.
Yep.
It tells you how unpredictable these things can be.
Mm-hmm.
Life in general is very unpredictable.
Oh yeah.
You can pass away. It could just be your time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, it's amazing when I see people that's passed away throughout the years and how fast life goes by. It really is a very short experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you say somebody's 80 years old, I mean, that's a long time, but then again, it isn't.
Right. Yeah.
When you think about how fast it's went by.
No, I mean, not when you go through and you learn about history stuff, that's over the spans of hundreds of years. And it's even that's not that many things.
Not really. No.
So 100 years isn't anything.
Mm-mm. And like I said, I don't know how long I'll be around. Maybe I'll make it to 60. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll live to be 70. Maybe I won't. Sorry about the truck.
Yeah. They like trucks here.
Apparently there's a big old truck going down the road.
Yeah.
And, but you just don't know how long you're going to be around. Could be tomorrow. You just never know. So, but it's very, when I look back over my life, the things that I wished I had done, there's a lot of things I wished I had done. You know, I would have lived my life differently. Not totally differently. I mean, there were some things I was really happy that I did and well, but I would definitely do some things differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was listening to the audiobook briefly of Walden yesterday.
Right, yeah.
We listened to just, 15 minutes of it?
Yeah, it wasn't very long.
And even the beginning of Walden, Henry David Thoreau, if you haven't listened to Walden, it's weird when you listen to something like that was written so long ago compared to, I mean, we're supposed to be more technologically advanced, right?
Yeah, sure.
More well-educated in general, right, as a population.
Yeah.
When you listen to him talk, the audiobook of him, what he wrote, rather, it's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
The language that he uses, the wording and vocabulary in general.
Yeah.
It's far beyond what most people use today.
Oh, yeah. There was a moment we heard a word and you were like, do you know what that word means?
Yeah, I have no idea what it means. Yes. Yeah. And I'm not a dumb person.
No, I literally go to get a PhD right now and I don't know what that word is.
I don't know what it, yeah. So, but one of the first things, and I think, you know, what he alluded to just starting out the first 15 minutes, and like I said, I have read some of that in the past, but he was even mentioning that, you know, that people that go through life, they get stuck into this rut, basically doing the same thing all the time, and they never really live.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, you know, a good chunk of your life's gone.
Yeah, that's where his famous quote comes from. You know, the most men live lives of quiet desperation.
They do.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with raising children, doing the typical what everybody does, going to work 9 to 5 every day. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But you have to be really careful about, you know, when things aren't going well and you get sucked into this repetitive rut.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you ever do, especially if things aren't going well. Mm-hmm. Or if you're too covered up on bills and you're just barely staying above water, keeping your head above water, you tend to do the same thing forever.
Right.
And you never, before you know it, you're 40.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you're 60.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yep.
You can't forget to live during all that.
Yeah.
And what's bad too is nowadays, even the food is so expensive. It's hard for some people to live.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I saw this homeless person the other day, and if you don't know, not far from where I live, there's this Walmart, and there's a whole homeless camp right next door to Walmart.
Yes, right. There is.
And they stand outside and peddle for money every day, and it's hard to believe that that's these people's lives.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they all got there. I don't know all their stories. But the point is, some of these people are in their 50s already.
Mm-hmm.
And this is their life.
Yeah.
Unless that's some kind of life you want to live, which in that case, it's fine. But it's hard to imagine that this is the best they will ever see.
Yeah. That's your grand finale of your life.
Yes. To me, that's the real... You know, I don't have anything against anybody that's struggling like that. But what I'd hate to see is for that to be the ultimate, that's as far as they get in life.
Well, yeah.
What blows my mind is I've spoken to a few of them up there because I see them so frequently. But there's a couple of them, they are perfectly content, which blows my mind.
You know, and don't get me wrong. I think that you definitely don't have some of the same drudgery.
Mm-hmm.
Doing
that's
really
that. True.
And that you don't have the same pressures that other people have. Like you don't have a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true.
You don't have all these other things to deal with. But at the same time, I mean, it's really hard to take a shower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You can't just go take a hot bath because you're, you know.
Yeah, you're sleeping in a tent, presumably.
Yeah. Well, or
off in the woods over there, there's two old, like, half dilapidated houses. And they live in both of them. One of them, they caught on fire the other day. The whole thing was half on fire.
Wow.
And they cleared it out and still live in it.
See, that's just hard to believe that's the, you know. Now, if they're happy, that's fine.
Sure.
But I don't know that I would be happy myself.
It's hard for me to wrap my head around that.
I think I would be, it would be different. Now, maybe it's not different. I guess it depends on how you look at it. If I were living in the Amazon voluntarily, was some, what, indigenous species or some kind of a group of people that have been there for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to live that life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that'd be so bad.
No.
If that's what you want out of life, then that's perfectly cool. That might even be fun.
Yeah, sure.
Now, granted, you won't have a sofa and your big screen television.
To me, that would be different than living in an urban setting homeless.
Yes.
Yeah.
To me, it would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's, to me, that seems harder.
Yeah.
Because
in that kind of setting, that's life. But here, it shouldn't be.
No, it's weird. To me, it's weird.
Yeah.
That likes it. Maybe I don't understand it well enough, but it's just weird to me.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, when I look over my life and I think, well, what should I have done differently? There's a lot of things I would definitely have done differently. I wished I could go back to when I was, you know, 20 and make some changes. But I don't know that I wouldn't change everything, but I would definitely do some things differently. Definitely do some things differently. There are some people that I dated, would never happen.
Yeah.
There are some places that I lived, I would have moved somewhere else.
Right.
I would have gone somewhere else and lived a different kind of setting, a different life.
Yeah.
There are some jobs I probably would have enjoyed a lot more, for sure. Now, you guys... Now, I'm sitting here with Matthew and Brian, two of my boys, and Brian's my middle son and Matthew's my youngest. And both of them, Matthew's going to go on to be a teacher and Brian is, well, he's already a physicist.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I always forget that. Yeah. I do have a degree.
Yeah, but you're trying to get your PhD. You're working on that. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it'll take some time. You'll get that knocked out. And that's just something you always wanted to do. Now, you will live a different life than I lived.
Yeah.
I mean, both of you. Matthew's going to go on to, he's going to be a teacher. And really, he's got a great personality for it. Mm-hmm. He's a really good-natured person. Now, me, I was always a little bit hot-tempered when I was younger. And not in a bad way. But I was. I was more hot. I was kind of like your older brother. Mm-hmm. He's a little more hot-tempered. Now, not that he's mean. He's not.
Yeah.
He's a good-natured fella. But he's like me. He's got a little bit more. But my grandmother was like that. Mm-hmm. She could be hot-tempered.
Yeah,
really.
Sure, yeah.
She could. But Matthew's real even keel. Mm-hmm. He's going to make a great teacher.
Not much bothers me, really.
Not really.
I kind of stay like this all the time.
As a matter of fact, in your life, I've only ever seen you get mad two or three times. And most of those were with me. You were mad at me.
Yeah, yeah, yes. I can only count three of them, and all three are you.
All mad at me, which I understand. I to be fair, I can be a little abrasive.
Yeah, that's the fun part.
But that's because I love you, and I'm trying. I want you to grow up to be a good man, and you are a good man. You've grown up to be a really good man, better man than me. You're going to be a better man always. You're going to be better people. And Brian is a really good guy, super smart, and he's going to make a great physicist.
Yeah, we'll try.
Yeah, and he's now see you're a lot more social than I think your other two brothers in some ways.
Yeah, yeah. I tend to go out and talk to a lot of people.
But now, last year or so, Matthew's gotten a lot more social.
I know half the town at this point, which is kind of weird. Because I can't hardly go anywhere and not know people.
Yeah, so you've actually come a long way in the last little bit. You're actually coming into your own a little bit. It's weird.
I went to, closer to where I live, I went to one of the new restaurants over there. And I knew half the staff when I walked in, which was strange.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. It's been nice, but sometimes it's a lot of work.
Well, you're going to make a great teacher. You really are. And Brian, I see him going on to be a good physicist. I mean, he already is a physicist, but I think he's going to do well in that field.
Oh, he will.
Yeah, he's going to do good.
That's what he loves, so he's going to do good.
It's very fun. It's not, I realized the other day, I was like, gosh, it's weird that I'm doing a job right now where I basically do math and make graphs. And that's what they pay me to do.
Oh, my gosh.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's a better way to live than some of these jobs by far.
He's a different kind of person than I am because that to me sounds dragging.
Now, the other day you had somebody, one of your old professors from Clemson.
Yeah, yeah.
And y'all went to stop by, I think you said you went to, was it NASA or something?
Oh, yeah. There's like a NASA Air and Space Museum in Houston we went to.
I'd say that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
See, he gets along with everybody.
Yeah.
But I think that's neat that you got to go do that with one of your old professors.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
That's very nice.
Yeah, that is cool. But I guess the point is we'll talk about other things in this podcast about my life and clear up some misconceptions. And I want to do that because I don't really talk to anybody. Mm. To kind of keep you in perspective of what I mean, I want to mention this. Let's say, everybody knows how the court system works mostly. Mm-hmm. Okay, imagine what it would be like if somebody out there was accused of a crime or charged with a crime. Not saying I'm involved in any crime, not saying that, just an example. And you go to court and you're not allowed to have a defense.
Ooh.
But there's a jury and the only people speaking is the prosecution.
Yeah.
Now, if that were the case, there would probably be 100% conviction rate.
Yep.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, surely.
And if the judge would never allow the defense to ever say anything, how fair do you think that would be?
Mm. No, not at all.
Wouldn't be fair. My life's kind of like that. Yeah. So I think in this podcast, we'll clear up a few things, but we're not going to get into any people bashing. I think I'm just going to clear up some events in my life.
Yeah. Right.
Because usually there's more than one side.
There always is.
And if you've only heard one version, well, maybe you need to hear my version. Mm-hmm. And then make your determination.
Right.
You know, because there are other viewpoints. And I think that's what some people forget. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that seems to be going around nowadays.
It really does, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Trump, what he's been through, and we won't make this into a political podcast.
Right.
But he has kind of been drug over the coals here.
Oh, yeah.
The last few years.
Yeah, and it's getting bad in politics. Real bad.
It really is. So when I've seen what Trump has been through, and the most disturbing part is not that he's been through all that, that's bad enough. It's that some people that are his opponents or his adversaries or whatever you want to call them seem to revel in the idea that he's going through all this.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's not.
Yeah, it gets even weirder because then everybody's like preying on each other's suffering. It gets,
yes.
That's awful.
Is that not, to me, that's what I was trying to say. That's kind of strange to have a culture that's kind of leaning in that direction.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Like that's what we're basing our government on? Really?
I've always hated the fact that for the last little while now, our election that our political office is for presidents, is it hasn't been who's doing what for the country. It's who do we not like today?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's just a personality contest rather than anything else.
And I don't really want to get into, you know, who you should vote for. You gotta vote for whoever you want. Whoever you agree with, that's your thing. But I will say this much. As much as some people may or may not like Trump, I like Trump. I think he's a good guy. But not everybody does, and that's okay. You got to vote for whoever you think's best for you. But mm-hmm. I got to ask you this, and I'm being very serious about this. When I think of our forefathers, the presidents that have come before the ones we have now, and way back through history, all the way back to George Washington, John Adams, and all this other stuff. I got to ask you a question. Does Kamala Harris stack up to any of those?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
I mean, seriously. That's weird to me.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. I mean, she only had like one job this whole time as the border czar, and she failed to such catastrophic proportions that it's, let's just make her president. You know, I find that hard to believe, to be honest.
Yeah, I think most people probably can't name five things that she's done.
Yes. Yes. That's the point I'm trying to make. Like I said, nothing against Kamala Harris as a person, but as a candidate, I don't get it.
It's very lackluster.
It is. I don't get it, man. I find that hard to believe. So I really hope that when people are voting, they make the right choice. Mm-hmm. And whether you vote for Trump or not, it's, you know, it's up to you, but I'm not, I just, it's puzzling.
Yeah.
I mean, just in general, not just about Kamala, but just in general, I find it hard to believe that our candidates have come from, you know, Lincoln and George Washington, and we're talking about Kamala Harris.
I kind of feel like we've gone downhill.
It's strange.
Yeah.
It's really strange.
Yeah.
I wish more people would, whether it's with the whole candidacy thing or just people in general, make actual informed choices.
Let me ask you a question. If you were voting and you had two choices and you had Ronald Reagan and Kamala Harris, and that was your only two options, I'm just saying.
That makes it feel very silly.
Is that? That's silly.
Really strange.
There's no comparison there.
Yeah. Can we get Abraham Lincoln versus Kamala Harris, please?
That's hard to believe.
Yeah.
See, when you think about Abraham Lincoln, or some of these great presidents, you think, you really do think presidential.
Yeah. Well, when you think just the caliber of people that they were versus what we're
versus,
dealing with now.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying they didn't have faults. Sure they did.
Oh,
sure.
Of course. But
but it's just apples and oranges.
Yeah. It's not even the close.
Yeah. See, I don't understand that either. I don't get that. I just have a hard time believing it.
Yeah. It used to be being president of the United States was like a very honored position.
Yes.
It's more of a joke now.
It's really strange.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'd like to see it change. And anyway, you know, I tell you, I know I'm feeling old. When I was younger, I went to, I was in the U.S. Army for a little while, and I went to Fort Gordon, Georgia.
Mm.
And so the other day I bumped into a recruiter who was from that area.
Oh.
No, actually, he was from Texas.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I remember.
And I mentioned to him about Fort Gordon, and he says to me, now get this, he goes, oh, it's not called Fort Gordon anymore.
What?
And I'm like, really? He says, yeah. And I thought, good Lord.
Why?
That makes you feel old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They start renaming the places you knew. You're like,
oh my gosh. Ugh. That's crazy.
Yeah. You know? I'm going to feel old soon because they started changing my high school building too, so it's just not even going to be there. So,
oh yeah, your high school's not there anymore.
So it's just like,
did you ever go to the new high school?
No,
just Matthew.
I was the first, and I was the first graduating class. I was the first people in the building.
Yeah, so I can't even. When I'm old, I can't revisit my high school. It's gone.
Well, it's still there. It's just a middle school now,
and see, that's weird.
Half gone.
I'm not going to visit a middle school.
It's also now half gone.
Yeah.
It's hard. The part you were in is gone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to feel real old.
And see, when I think back over high school years, I spent the majority of my high school around Seneca. I didn't graduate there, but I spent the majority of my time around Seneca. So when I think of high school, that's who I think of.
Yeah.
Seneca High School. And I really love the people there.
Yeah.
Missed some of the people that I met while I was in high school there. Really hope they're doing well. Just to name a few, Elaine Gudger, Melanie Page, I wonder how they're doing. I talked to Elaine one time, probably, I don't know, 12, 15 years ago. She seemed to be doing well. David Overkamp, which you were named after David Overkamp.
Nice.
Yeah. And Brian came from a friend of mine who died when I was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's both of my names.
Yep. That's both of them. And then, but when I think of some of those guys and people that I knew back then, and there were others, now it's not just them, but I wonder how they're doing. I wonder how they're doing. Mm. Especially when I heard what happened to Kirsten.
Yeah.
I kind of sucked. And I really hated to hear that. But I hope they're doing well. I did try to find Brad Moore. I think he may be in witness protection because he's really hard to track down. So he obviously does not do social media. I mean, I hope nothing happened to him. I hope he's still around.
And assuming he's fine, he's good in health and all that other nonsense, as long as he's well, good for him.
Right.
Social media is a mess.
But I don't know where he is, but I've tried to track him down, but he apparently went to the military. Now, I'm not saying he went to the military, but I think he may have because he must be into some kind of counterintelligence because when you search for him, you don't find anything. See, that's my joke. He's just that hard to track down.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
if you're listening, Brad, don't leave the safe house. It's not worth it. Yeah.
Reach out to us. You may have to send us a, you know, some kind of message or whatever.
Yes, but cut out letters from a magazine. And
that's how he sends his post. He's really hard to find. Oh, Lord. But he was a good guy. I mean, really. We used to have study hall together in a couple classes.
Yeah. You can have a messenger hawk at your window in a couple hours.
You know, he doesn't know it. But, you know, I learned a lot from him when I was in school.
Really?
Yes. And I tell you what I took from him. And this is it's true. You know how particular I am about things.
Mm-hmm.
My notes, things that I'm pretty orderly.
Yeah.
Well, I actually felt like that. I've got that way. A lot of it had to do with him.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Because I always admired how organized he was.
Yeah.
And how well written his notes were.
Mm. Wow.
His notes compared to my notes. I used to look at his notes in study hall. He would show me stuff, and I would think to myself, and I didn't tell him this. But I thought I had the worst notes in the world compared to this guy.
Yeah.
It was not even close. His Crazy. Were so nice and clean and neat.
Wow.
And back then teachers would come around sometimes and check your notes.
Wow.
Yeah. And I bet he was like really super proud to show his notes. Yeah. He was like, look at this.
It's like a gold star.
And he knew he was going to get 100. Me, oh, yeah. I'm kind of nervous.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you really want to see this?
I know some people that their notes are like all pristine. They look, their handwriting's so good. It looks like typed out.
Oh my gosh.
And then they have like highlighter marks. I'm like, when did you have time to draw a diagram?
He was amazing at that. And we played a little basketball together too, but he, just such a good guy. I mean, I don't know what he's up to nowadays, but I have wondered about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Miss him. He was one of I think my best friends I ever had. I enjoyed him that much. Don't know what he's doing now, but yeah, he was, compared to my notes, was amazing. Yeah, for sure. But guys, I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. We'll be having some more podcasts coming out very soon about different stuff, but in general, we're just going to touch on my life and different events and talk about, you know, what's happened to me and stuff like that. Not going to talk about other people too much. It's not really what the podcast is about. Pretty much me. And we'll talk about some world events too. Sometimes we'll just get on here and joke around a little bit. But in general, that's what it is. But I hope you guys have a great afternoon. And we'll be talking at you soon. Take care of yourself.